Open your Bibles to Psalm 95 as our starting place tonight. Psalm 95. Starting at verse 1. Well, wait a minute. Make sure I turn that on. Thank you, Joseph. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. It won't be finished tonight. We're going to be looking at that phrase, let us. Let us, you know, and I can remember I preached a message for this back in, before some of you was born, okay, 1995 on this, and I called it Believer's Salad. I think one of the last 2 years that James was here, he stole my outline out of Hebrews, okay? And he preached that because I want you to know he was talking about, but it was called Bible Salad. I wonder where he got the title, 1995, Believer's Salad, all right? And you want to look at this, you want to think about it, it's biblical, okay? Do you know there's apples and grapes in the Bible? Just ask Walter. They belong in the salad, don't they? Yes. There's mustard, there's vinegar, there's the oil of the Spirit, there's cucumbers, there's melons, there's onions, there's leeks, and there's garlic. So I don't know about you, but that sounds like the beginning of a pretty good house salad, right? But you can't really have a house salad without what? Lettuce. All right. So tonight, we won't even get through the beginning of this. I'm not turning to Hebrews tonight, where it tells us, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together one with another. Okay. Let us come boldly under the throne of God. We're not going to do that. I want you to start tonight. As we read here in Psalm 59, you see, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Do you realize that the greatest time that the children of Israel sang was not in a time of mirth, but in a time of sorrow? Because, you know, what happens is that that's the time when you can look where the world lets you down, but God will never let you down. So let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise under the rock of our salvation. You know, Judy and I look at it, you know, we're going through, and we say, whether we live, whether we die, we are the... And we look at his eternal promises. And if you look at him, you can deal with what's about you. Okay, so you find that he says, let us sing, verse 2, he says, let us come before his presence with... And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. All right, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 6. Oh, come, let us what? Worship and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Because the, what? God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And so we need to realize that. And you know, I look at numbers in my Bible. I look at phrases in my Bible. I look at repetitions in my Bible. If Ben's working, Ben works 4 to 12, every Monday through Friday, but we try to do devotions together. Yesterday, I was indisposed. Okay, if you want to know why, ask me after. I couldn't do it. And today, I was traveling, but he didn't call me because sometimes something comes up with him. But we do devotions together, and we're constantly looking at where you see triplets, things repeated three times, or something takes place there. Or you see a phrase that takes place. And I want you just tonight to think about where God says, let us. Let us. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. I started you in the Old Testament. We're going to stay now in the New Testament. Romans 13. I'm going to start at verse 8, and we're going to read down through, and we're going to see a couple things. And it says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. You see that? For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Now watch. In that knowing the time, that is now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Because it's talking about us, our salvation, the completion of that, glorified bodies being with Jesus, the fulfillment of our salvation. For it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Then look at that. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk how? In the day, not in rioting, not in drunkenness, not in chambering, not in wantonness, not in strife, not in envying. Don't walk in that, believer. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. As I'm praying tonight with my wife over here, with my bride, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, and Lord, we have not because we ask not. We ask and have not because we ask it amiss that we may consume it upon our what? Our own lust. And it says, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make now provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And with that, you need to understand. You got to cast off the works of darkness. You've got to put on the armor of light. God is light, and in him is no darkness. I can take you, we won't take time to go there, but you go to Ephesians chapter 6, and you see the whole armor of God. When you put on that armor, the first thing you do is what we were doing tonight. And it's always been this way. The midweek, the prayer service, is the least attended service in almost any church, when it should be one of the most. Because when you put on God's armor, the thing you're first commanded to do is to pray. Is to pray. Put on the armor of light. Then let us walk honestly. Used to be in this country that a man's word was his bond. My son was just at, for a major award, that journalist dinner with the president, the vice president, the secretary of state, and all those, and all these journalists and stuff were there. And you know what he's saying to me? The hard part is, he says, Dad, because his life verse, Micah 6:8, what is required of thee, O man, but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. He comes home, and then they put on these major, he was given information because, believe it or not, the FBI and the state police agencies trust him. And he was involved, and he had people set around because they did a bunch of more raids on businesses, nonprofits that were robbing Minnesotans of millions and millions and millions of dollars. He got to, we were talking about a particular congresswoman from Minnesota, and he goes, yeah, Dad, she's corrupt. And he says, but most people, if they've been in power for any long, any length of time, they're what? They've been corrupted. Because the love of money is the root, not a root, the root of all evil. So he says, with politicians, they tell you what they think you want to hear, not what they truly believe. And when you find one who tells you what he truly believes, most of the time, people get offended. Same thing happens with pastors. Okay? So it says, let us cast off the works of darkness, let's put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. In other words, don't dwell on the bad. Dwell on the what? That which is lovely and of a good report. If there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. I reorganized my office. It got shampooed and cleaned and everything got tore out. The desk got put back. I got in trouble because my dishes were dirty. But I slide papers and there's things underneath there, underneath the glass on my desk. And one of them is 1 Corinthians 13. Another one is the pastor, it's not a job. It's a calling. And things about it, the difference between a job and a calling. But when I'm dealing with people, I have to look at continually at my desk. Because in me that is in my flesh, what? And you know what it tells me? Charity suffereth long and is. Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. Then it says charity. That's the love of Christ flowing through me. I don't care, you need it in your marriage. You need it when dealing with your children. You need it when children approach their parents. You need it with your neighbors. You need it with those you work with. If you're going to put on light, it needs to be there. And it says, beareth all things, believeth all things. In other words, giving that person the benefit of a doubt. Because in our flesh, what do we normally want to do? Go to the worst case scenario. I don't have to go to the worst case scenario. You know why? Because God's the one who knows the end from the beginning. Nothing's hid from him. So he tells me to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things. And when I'm doing that, if it turns out hard, in what? Endure all things. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You will not have to answer for what someone has done to you. You will answer for how you let Christ be seen through you in how you act or respond to their reaction. Biblical response, fleshly reaction. Reaction is always the flesh. Amen? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Okay, so let us walk honestly. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to look a little bit at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 because you need to see the context, and I'll show you why. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It says, having therefore these promises, I don't know about you, but I like the way God refers to his church. Because what does he call us next? Not just beloved. I know I'm accepted in the beloved, but we're dearly beloved. Okay? Seeing we have these promises, what are those promises? I want you to jump back to verse 14. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And if you're saved, you have the righteousness of God. What communion hath light with darkness? Remember, you're to put on the armor of light. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, these are the promises, I will dwell where? And walk where? And I will be what? And they shall be what? My people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We are to be in the world, not of the world. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's the promises it's talking about. And because of those promises, it says, therefore, having these promises, child of the Father, dearly beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Do I complete that or do that right every day? No. Does that mean that I should not endeavor to let God's holiness make the choices for me? Pastor Christian gave me a thing early on. Okay, I came up underneath him. No, I didn't go to school with him. He didn't teach me the Bible. He taught me a lot about ministry. And he gave me a track that says, others can, you cannot. Others can, you cannot. And I've had people say, well, why don't you do this and why don't you do that? I do some stuff maybe you don't do. All right, please don't judge me. I'm not supposed to spend time judging you. I've got to judge myself. But there's things I just won't do. Okay? Because I don't want someone pulling down the name of my Savior. Others can, you cannot. He used to say this, and I always laughed at him because he'd go, you know what the old Baptist ruling is? Don't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with girls who do. I'm sorry, but if I see a woman with a chaw in her mouth, I won't be there long anyway. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. It's harder today than it was 20 years ago. It was harder 20 years ago than it was 50 years ago. Why? Because everything is immediately right there before you. All you got to do is click on your phone or turn on your iPod or turn on your Game Boy or turn on any event that is attached to the internet. Is the internet evil? No. Can it be used for that? Over and over and over and over again. The single largest problem in fundamental Bible-believing churches today amongst young men is what? Pornography. Pornography. It's not alcohol. It's pornography. It's not drug usage. But pornography is a drug. I can remember being under training with Dr. George Crabb. He was one of the heads of the old RU ministry. He was a doctor of osteopathic medicine. He was on the president's board of addicted medicine. I sat in training seminars with him, and he showed the physiological, psychological, and the chemical pathways and how the brain works. And pornography can be more addictive than heroin. Because you can stop heroin and after a time your body get cleansed of it. But when something's imprinted here, it takes a lot more of surrender of that person to the Lord to resist that. And you know what parents do? Well, I don't want my kids to feel strange. I let them have a phone. Not in the congregation at this time, but in the time I've been the pastor, I've had to deal with some out of the church, a couple times in the church, of girls who got pressured by guys in school to send topless pictures. Save girls. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's not innocent. And it's not something that doesn't hurt others. If a man looketh upon a woman, I don't care if it's on the internet, if it's in a magazine, if it's in the mall, wherever it is, with lust in his heart, the Bible says he hath what? Adultery already. I went around and around with a pastor who wanted to judge somebody for marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And I said, well, what about this? And he goes, brother, that's too hard a judgment. I can't hold up to that. I said, that's not a personal conviction. I didn't write that. God did. Do you know when a woman entertains the thoughts because another person, another male, a man, is talking to her? Men are seduced by what they see. Women are seduced by what they see. Satan will send somebody. I always hold men to a higher standard, but I want you to know it's a struggle. So it's got to be a surrender. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ so you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Quiet in here tonight. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 16 of Galatians 5, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are what? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, they're known. Adultery, fornication, see where they are? Uncleanness, lasciviousness. That's an inordinate desire. See, I didn't even tell you to go look it up. Idolatry, witchcraft. You know what the Bible says, young people? Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath. Always read that list. And my father used to tell me as I was growing up, boy, if you don't get a handle on your anger, you're going to spend your life in prison because you are too big and too strong. And he was always afraid that I was going to hurt somebody badly. Got to remember, I was bigger than my kindergarten teacher. I was bigger than my second grade teacher. I was bigger than my third grade teacher. And by fourth grade, I was bigger than the principal of the elementary school I went to. I started lifting weights at 12. You know what my father tried to do? He tried to beat the anger out of me. Didn't work real well. That's why Jesus knew I needed to be saved. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings. Well, I don't know why they have that relationship. Murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not saying you're not saved. It says you're not going to inherit. You're not going to get those inheritance rewards for serving Him. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, putting up with it, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. You know, Moses was one of the meekest men on the face of the earth. Our Savior was meek. That doesn't mean weak. It means that quietness. Temperance, balance. That's what temperance is. Against such there is what? And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, here's our next lettuce. Let us what? If you're saved, you're in the Spirit, because if you're in the flesh, you're not saved. But you know what the problem is? There's people who are in the Spirit who walk after the flesh. Had a conversation, I can never forgotten it, and that's not part of, I don't believe it's, the example is used in the Redeeming Hope, but it was the ideal of the Indian who fed. He went back around in the 1800s out in the Old West, and he had a white dog that was mean and ugly, and he had a black dog that was mean and ugly, and he went from town to town, and they had him in cages, and he'd push on the dogs and get them to growl and bark, and he's going to set up a dog fight. And he'd go one place, and it seemed like the black dog was meaner than the white dog, and he'd turn around with that black dog and the white dog, and all the townspeople would come, and they'd bet on the black dog because he just seemed meaner. Because he wanted it mean. And so they'd bet on the black dog, and the dogs would fight, and the white dog would beat him. And he'd make his money. And he'd go down the road with his horse and his wagon, and he'd take the dogs in their cages. He'd go to the next town, and he'd set up shop again. And he'd take all week long, and they'd watch those dogs growl, and he'd get ready for the dog fight. Okay, and one guy followed him because he wanted to get his money back. And he goes, that white dog won the last time. And he told everybody in the town, the white dog won. Bet on the white dog. And the dogs fought, and the black dog won. And they asked him why. And the Indian goes, me want black dog to win? Me feed the black dog, beat the white dog. Me want the white dog to win? Me feed the white dog, beat the black dog. Put down the one, strengthen the other. You know what's going to happen in your life? You feed your flesh. You know what's going to win? You feed your spirit. What's going to win? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections thereof. If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. One more, Galatians chapter 6, and we'll be done for tonight. Galatians chapter 6. You ready? Context of this is, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, right? Lest thou also be tempted, bear ye one of his burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Look at verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he what? Also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? And then it says what? Let us. Let us not be weary in what? For in due season we shall, if we faint not. As we have, therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. See, let us again do good unto all men, especially to those who are of the what? Your Christian brothers and sisters. Do good unto them. Don't be weary in well-doing. Well, they don't appreciate it. I've been nice to them and they don't appreciate it. They don't just realize how much work it took me to do that. You know what I can hear in the back of my mind? Something my wife was teasing. We tease each other, and she looked at me. I was, she can't eat certain things, people. Do you know that? She can't. not to have another day, and a day after that. And I had to have a colonoscopy. So that meant Monday, I had a liquid breakfast, clear, a liquid lunch, clear, a liquid supper, clear, except when they put stuff in it to make you clear. And that night, I'm sorry, call me carnal, but I like watching the Yankees. And a commercial come on, and it was from one of the fast food places, and there was a big tall glass of Pepsi and a double cheeseburger with peppers and onions and a large order of fries. And I and she looks at me and goes, I don't want to hear it. I can't have it at all. I can't eat it again until the day I die. And I go, that's a little strong. You could have at least said, suck it up, buttercup. I can't have it. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? How we minister to each other is something that either pleases or displeases God. Because it says, do good unto all men, especially those that are what? And all God's people said? Amen.